fellowship. I'm always reminded that the Bible says we should not come to church to be attendees, but attendants, to be people who are served. Let's come with something. Let your mind be open. Don't go home with any questions. It's cooperating with the Holy Ghost to make his counsel known. Lord, thank you for this moment. You sent forth your word and healed them. Thank you for the word that you have sent out in songs, the ministration we have had today about the assurance of your grace, you, the Adonai, the object of our worship, the invitation to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. These are real words, the ministration in songs this morning. Father, we thank you. We pray that none of the word that has gone will fall to the ground. Father, as we continue with the service, there are contending spirits, the things unseen, oh Lord, the things seen that come from the unseen things. Father, we pray that you please arrest every thought to the obedience of our Lord Jesus. You have something precious for us. You've been serving it since we entered this morning for those who can discern your presence. Help our hearts to discern your presence. Pray we not take your word and the ones we've received, about to receive, in vain. Father, equip us for the week. Let your command your blessings upon this fellowship. And Father, as I open your word to just try in the ability you've given to me to shine some light, I pray, God, that you bring to life your truth in the name of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, I pray, God, that your people would have further understood you, be excited to serve you, have help, Father, as your word provides in all the challenges. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm horrible with names, but I never forget a face. There's my sister in the back row. Sister Moni, I know. Yes. I just didn't want to say Moji. Moji was on my lips. But I've learned at work never to guess a name because I'm wrong about 60% of the time. Sister Moni, and that's your husband. How are you? What's the name, sir? Bro, have you been here before? Ah, praise the Lord. You can come and take the mic. There's no vacation for pastors. Praise the Lord. It's nice to see you. That's please be seated. So myself, Brother Bumi didn't make it. He's a little too old to take these trips now. Myself, Brother Peter, Brother Kunle, and Brother Bolaji, we were traveling. We took a road trip together, and I think we might have been bored. So we began to mention the names of people that have come to New Covenant Church. We forgot your name. But you know, there's a saying that we don't have ex-members of New Covenant Church. That's the anointing that God has given us. There's no such thing. Sister Mo, it's nice to see you again. I saw the face and clumsy me. I couldn't remember the name. How have things been? Bless the Lord. Thank God. Nice to have you. So this morning, I would like to just share with us a very unusual story that we don't normally talk about in the Bible. The theme for this morning is just learning to serve God with godly reference, with fear and godly reference. And it's a theme, as I've been studying, I started this series of sermons with the book of Luke and remembering the things that Jesus said to us, right? If you remember, then I took that that trip to the Middle East, and then suddenly I had to go back and look at the Old Testament, and I'm sharing with you the things I'm learning. And the theme for this morning is basically learning, and the song Adonai just brings it, sets the background for this sermon as well. But if there's something that I think the Lord will like, yes, Sister Runke. Oh, why did I say everybody? Okay, go. You know, it's funny. You know, you should come and try what it feels like to speak for 1 hour and see how you can be accurate. Speak nonstop for 1 hour. And reverence. Which, why did the reverend, like Reverend Ogunso, Reverend Mrs. Ogunso? Okay, yeah. So how to serve the Lord like a reverend father? That's what you thought I meant. Okay. Anyway, please never mind, Sister Runke. Just pay attention to the meat. Don't be distracted. And that's the theme for this morning. If there's anything I think we need to learn, is that there's an acceptable way to serve the Lord our God. There are many ways we want to serve him. You can design a way to serve him. And there are many methods. But there is a way to serve the Lord our God. Not only does he command us to serve him, he also commands us to serve him in a certain way. And he leaves ample, did I get that one right? Examples of how to do that. And it is our job. Our job as teachers and pastors is not to invent sermon. There's nothing new in anything we're saying. There's no new sermon on earth. It's been preached before. Our job is to continue to reiterate the foundational truths that have been part of our tradition as Christians, as passed down by the Lord and his apostles. So in that light, let's open our Bibles as we start off to Hebrews. And if someone would please read for me chapter 12 and read verse 28 and verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12. Anybody that finds it should read verse 28 and 29. Thank you.
Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen. The writer of Hebrew here points to us that there is a grace available for us. And that grace, we equip us, we ensure that we know how to serve the Father. And I think what is implied is also that the way to serve the Father is in godly fear and like a reverent father. I'm just kidding. Reverentially. I want that to sink. I do not want to cover wisdom with plenty of words. What is implied in this verse is that we should receive grace. There's grace for many things, but there's also one grace that this Hebrew writer is talking about. It is the grace to know how to serve our Lord. And the way to serve him, is with what? With what? Godly fear and with. And the reason this hit me was, as I've been studying the lives of Abraham, the life of Abraham, the life of Moses, the patriarchs, they seem to have had this grace of honoring and serving. They knew the right. And the Bible also gives us ample examples of those who did not. For instance, Saul. Saul will serve the Lord, but not with godly fear or reverence. Cain. Cain will serve the Lord, not with reverence and godly fear. This man that we're talking about, this uncle in the Bible, Esau. Esau will serve the Lord, but he did not get the secret of how. On the flip side, you look at a man like David, whom in the natural eyes you would think he made so many mistakes, he wasn't serving with reverence and godly fear, and the Lord justified him. They seem all to have a secret. I mean, these men who served the Lord seem to have a flippant Joseph, who did not know the secret of keeping a dream, I mean, the wisdom of keeping a dream secret, when to speak, when not to speak, yet he was qualified as having served the Lord with reverence and with godly fear. So there's a way. We are not just being called to serve the Lord. We are being called to serve the Lord in a particularly prescribed way. And there's grace to do that. Only God can give that grace. So he said we should receive the grace. Because exactly because we have received the kingdom, which is everlasting. Now, come and have grace. And this grace, we teach you, we equip you to now serve the Lord in a way in which he'll be able to say, welcome home, you good and faithful servant of the Lord on the last day. Praise the Lord. And now I'll go back. I said I'd like us to study one instance, a very unusual story in the Bible that we often miss. Let's go to, it's the most story of Moses. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20. It's in the story of Moses. And we'll illustrate this with one story of what happened to Moses. I'll start reading from, let me see, you know the story, so. I'll start reading from verse 7. Just the background, of course, the children of Israel were again complaining. This time, I think it was about water, right? They always complained about something. Verse 7 said, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and to the animals. You understand? Do we all know? Who is not familiar with this story? Right? The story of the Meribah, Mara and Meribah. What's the name of the place? Right? Who is not? You're not? Okay. Sister Kike, those are your children. They need to. Sister Shade, Sister Biola, those are your children. They don't know the story of water of Meribah. That's on you. Okay, don't worry. Just call your teachers. Tell them, call the aunties. Tell them to give you the background. So, and you know what happened? At this point, if you read this story, I've been reading this story from the beginning. I mean, if you were Moses, you'd be frustrated at this point. You were, Moses was pastoring the most difficult congregation ever. I mean, this congregation had seen miracles like nobody. This congregation had passed, they actually saw the Red Sea split apart, this same generation. If I read this right, this was not even too many years, this Meribah issue from that time. They had seen food come from above, and they just, these guys did not need to farm. They just went in the morning and gathered cooked food. And that kind of cooked food that you can, you know, convert into baked food. You can, you know, I don't know what kind of food that was. Pre-cooked, if you wanted to eat it that way, you could bake it. You could do anything you wanted. It was miracle food. It had all the nutrients in the world. If you ate just that food, you don't need to worry about balanced diet. In one meal, there's no meal like that currently. It was specially made for them. They had seen the wind blow meat and just so that it wouldn't stink to their camp. The Lord made it to be about a day's journey away. Meat piled up to, I don't know, real great height. So the Lord made them walk a day's journey so that they would gather enough meat to eat. They had seen it. They had seen all kinds of meat. They actually saw, apart from the regular sun, they would see a pillar of cloud by day. Just the very presence of the Lord. They will see it just hanging on their camp alone. They will see this camp, this pillar we lift. And that was their cue that it was ready to start packing up their tent rod and bringing their cattle in. And it will, when it stayed on them, they were supposed to camp again. At times they will camp for just one day. And the moment they finished putting up their tent, it will lift. The Lord directed them purposefully. It wasn't as though they were looking like us, Lord, when is the answer going to come? No, they saw koro koro answer. But they always had something to complain about. And I can bet if we were part of the camp, we'll have something to complain about. But this shows the love, enduring love of Jesus. So that's the background. So at this point, Moses was tired. He was a shepherd provoked. He had had it. This Moses had pleaded. There was a time that the Lord wanted to kill all of them. In fact, he said, separate yourself from them. Let me just swallow these people up. I'm going to create another children of Israel from you. And it was Moses that said, Lord, please don't do it. Oh, fantastic pastor. Please don't do it. What would the word say? The word would say, you only brought them out of Egypt just to destroy them because they knew. The word said, because you know you couldn't deliver them to the land you promised. And the Lord will go again. Let me destroy this. Moses said, please don't destroy these people. Moses was a kind-hearted shepherd, but he had hit his limit. That's the background. So they began to murmur. Verse 2 said, they gathered against Moses and Aaron, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died. These folks loved hyperboles. You know, when you have a problem, I say, it's even better for me to have died. When the Lord gives a small challenge, and suddenly you forget the entire grace, what you need probably is, I don't know. I don't even know what illustration to give here. You have job challenge. Sister Kemi illustrated the different categories of challenges this month. Maybe you had job challenge. And you just forget that God has given you beautiful children. He's given you a beautiful home. He has given you beautiful this. You just forget all the other things going on. And you're saying, what's the use of being a Christian? Maybe I should just die. I'm not getting promotion. What's the use of working and not getting promotion? And the Lord was tired. And that's what the Lord meant when he said, stop murmuring. If only they had looked around and seen the blessing of the Lord, the promises of the Lord, the manna every morning, they would not complain. But there's something. When we have problems, we seem to forget. What's the song? La, 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 the God of the valley. He's the God in the the God, yeah, God of the valley. He's the God of the mountains. When things go, he makes it right. We forget that he's the same God. So like us, these folks were complaining, and Moses never really got angry. He had the gift of being very meek, but he was angry this time. Verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. He said to them, hear now, you rebels. You never really see Moses speak this way. He was provoked. Normally, it's the Lord that spoke this way every time he was speaking with Moses. He said, these people are stiff-necked. They are rebels. Then Moses would say, please, Lord, please, Lord. But this time, Moses had heard it. Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? You will never hear Moses speak this way. If you had been reading with me from the book of Exodus, all the instances will be, the Lord, the God, will show himself great before you. The Lord, your God, who brought you up by the mighty hand. The Lord, your God. He was a perfect representative of God. But in this instance, the man spoke in anger. Must we bring water from the rock from you? Then Moses, lifting his hand, he struck the rock not once. This is what you call transferred aggression. He struck the rock twice. A few weeks ago, I spoke on a topic saying that the details matter, especially when you're dealing with the Lord. Be careful about the details. You can get into trouble just because you heard the message, but you don't hear the details. And God is a God of detail. If you've been reading with me through the Old Testament, you see how detailed he is. The way he wants his tent designed, the colors he wanted of them, the kind of material to use, specifically who to design what, who to serve what, how, even the perfume. The Lord deliberately designed what the constitution of the perfume for the Holy of Holies will be, the incense. And he said, this is patented for life. It should never be replicated because it's the most holy thing. The Lord we serve is holy. We cannot serve the Lord carelessly, serving the Lord with reverence and godly fear. It's not just, you're not just called to worship. You're called to worship an awesome God, an Adonai. There's a way to approach him and serve him. Many of us get the idea that we're called, but we don't get the idea that we're called in awesomeness, in holiness, in worship. And it's precious to the Lord that we revere him, we hallow him in all things. So Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water indeed came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank, and they lived happily ever after. Problem solved. No. This was the beginning of the only problem Moses had with God. This was what kept Moses from entering the promised land. Just one. See how this man had been laboring. He was the one called to lead them. He was the advocate for them. He had the chance to have his own children inherit the promise. And because of rod and anger, because of one slip, just one slip, the congregation was thirsty no more. Everybody was happy. They went home. They glorified the Lord. Verse 12, but the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you. It's a great thing when you've done everything right, but the thing you want most is denied you. Let's go to, of course, so we don't have to come back here. Let's read verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Aaron died. You know, I said it's an unusual story because usually when we tell the story of those who did not enter the promised land, whose story do we normally tell? No, those who did not, normally. Yes, when they sent spies and those that said, that is our example. We forget to tell the story of the holy man and the Lord's chief high priest. They also did not enter. They were going to enter because they were not one of those who rebelled. But this was the mistake, and the judgments came. And I began to say, oh my goodness, if you ever saw, in fact, the Lord defended Aaron against all the elders of Israel when they rebelled, Moses and Aaron. They were God's chosen people. Honestly, I don't think we're allowed to say, I mean, if I was deputizing for the Lord, we're not supposed to say we were God, we're not. If I was deputizing for the Lord, I would have killed Aaron a long time ago. Who built a golden calf? Eh? And then he lied. I don't know. Tell me an equivalent sin in the Bible. I still don't know. I don't know why the Lord forgave him. I've seen people do less and be punished by the Lord. This man, just 40 days. In 40 days, he was the one that suggested that the children of Israel should bring their earrings. They did not say, take earring, go and build. He was the one that, he actually was the architect of the golden calf. And yet he became high priest. That's how much the election and the grace of the Lord overshadows all things. And for the sin of not learning to serve the Lord in reverence and godly, just that, which to you and me may look very small compared to some of the things he had done, he rebelled with his sister against Moses. The Lord spared him, but Miriam, the Lord struck Miriam down. So he had misbehaved before. None of those misbehaviors kept him from being high priest or from the promised land, but this one did. I am the Lord. I will not share my glory with anyone. Children, you are not only called to come and serve Jesus. You are called to represent him and serve him with reverence, to make him your Lord and your God, to glory in him, to sing his praise to all generations. You are called to be true representatives of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says you are holy. You've come to a holy God. You've not come to an idea, the Christian idea, on an alternate philosophy on how to live. You've come to the living God. There's a way to worship him. Fear the Lord. Honor him. Don't go late to God's activities. Don't be dismissive. Anything that had to do with God, add some awesomeness, some reverence to it. You can chit and chat with your friends when they name the name of the Lord. Don't use words like J-E-E-Z. Don't use words. Don't use, you know. Father, please help to convey what it means to have respect for your name to us. Christians, represent the Lord. Don't be part of people who are so familiar and glib that they just serve their Lord anyhow. Don't put coffee on your Bible, not because it's a sin, but because the things you... Do you put coffee on your diamond rings? No, you know, I'm not teaching do's and don'ts. I'm just saying they used to teach us the fear of the Lord, and because we understood it, there were certain things we would not do. Let the fear of the Lord. Don't take church as just anything. I'll just go. There was a reason why they taught us to dress up while going to church. It's not because your dress mattered. They just wanted to convey to us that we're going to meet a very important person there. I used to call it Kumata syndrome, but it matters. Everything about God matters. The details matter. Don't just pray chewing gum and crossing your leg. You will not pray chewing gums and crossing your leg if you are talking to the president of the United States. When the president of the United States enters a gathering, they sing Hail the Chief, or what? Hail to the Chief. The trumpet, the marine band picks up the band, and they sing beauty. You can never see the president of the United States just enter a gathering without people rising up. How much more the living God? Learn to serve your God in godly fear and in reverence. We have lost it in our age. They used to have it. I was reading Andrew Murray. I understand that in South Africa then, that anytime, even drunkards who had stayed all night at the club, that when they were passing a church and they had the choir singing, even drunkards, I understood then that they would remove their hat. The fear of the Lord was upon the church. There's a reason we used to call them Reverend Fathers. Reverend Fathers. Learning to serve God. At times our prayers are not because, hey, Yoruba, I don't know how to interpret that. The Lord responds to honor. Actually, that's the only thing we can give him. Don't play with your God, brethren. Don't be part of the generation that is flippant. It's God. Well, I was really angry with God. Study the word to know how to serve the Lord. God is holy. Our generation does. We don't even know how to respect our parents. Learning to serve the Lord with reverence and godly faith. So the Lord dealt with Aaron here. Let's go to chapter 27 of the same book, verse 12. There's a statement there about this issue that just happened. 27. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abiram and see the land which I have given to you, to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also will be gathered to your people as Aaron, your brother, was gathered. This was one of the Lord's best friends as human beings. The Lord loved Moses. But no matter how much he loves you, please don't misbehave. he can deal with you. In Hebrews that we read, it said, for our Lord is a consuming fire. Receive the grace to serve the Lord with fear. A church that is full of the fear and reverence of the Lord, you will see the honor and the glory of the Lord descend. Anywhere where his honor, any home, any heart that honors the Lord comes and honors such a heart and such a church and such a home. I don't think this tells the full story. The full story of what really happened, we can get that from Deuteronomy chapter 6. You think that, okay, yeah, the way we read it, just okay, so Moses did not really feel that upset about this, right? Let's see what really. This was now Moses talking about this event. Remember, in Numbers, we had a third-party account. Someone was reporting what happened. But Moses was summarizing in Deuteronomy. He spoke in the first person, summarizing his experience with the Lord and telling the people what it had been like getting ready to die. That was Deuteronomy. So let's see how Moses himself told the story. He said, I'm reading from verse 23. Then I pleaded with the Lord at the time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, Lord, let me cross over and see this good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. Moses pled with the Lord. He really wanted to be there. Moses, the friend of the Lord. Don't say anyway, he was actually too old, so he really wasn't interested. At least he saw. I pray that you will not be the person who we see but not taste. He wanted to. And he thought, as usual, because he pled and many plagues went away. He pled on behalf of Miriam. And leprosy went away. He pled on behalf of the children of Israel, and the Red Sea was divided. He pled on behalf of Pharaoh, and the blood receded, and the frogs, and the lice, and the locust. He was used to pleading and getting what he wanted. So he went, apparently, maybe when the Lord first gave that judgment, he felt, oh, you know what, it's just the Lord angry. I can just plead with him. So he went back, and he pled with the Lord, according to his own testimony here. I pray, Lord, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, the pleasant mountains and Lebanon. He said, but the Lord was angry with me on your account, and he would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. May the Lord never say enough of that to you. Deuteronomy 3:23. This story, I always reference 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says everything that happened, a verse there says that everything that happened of old is happening because of us New Testament Christians, so that we might, through the admonition of the gospel, have hope. The Lord wants us to learn from everything. There's a lesson in this story that you don't get too familiar with the Lord and misbehave. Be careful how you enter his presence. I think there's actually a chapter that says, when you come to the house of the Lord, be careful. He says, the Lord will not entertain the sacrifices of fools because God is above and we are below. Everything you do as a Christian, let it be in the honor and the glory of the Lord. Be aware that you are doing it for the Lord. Whether you eat, you are drinking, any word, you carry an anointing as Christians on you. Because you're a peculiar, you're a priesthood, you're a holy people. The standard that the Lord does not hold the world to, he's holding you to it because of the grace that he has given to you. We are representatives. He even says when we speak, we should make sure that we are speaking as oracles of the Lord. We can't just say anything as Christians. Your word is power. You can't just go anywhere as Christians because you represent Jesus. You can't just do your things anyhow. You are bought. You are a slave. You are bought with a price. We can't just wear anything as Christians. Your bodies are the temple of the Most High God. You are not your own. You have anointing. You have a promise. You have a kingdom to inherit. You're one of the few. You're the one of the 0.000. I'm just giving my own statistics. The Bible calls it few. You can't. As a born-again Christian, there's a calling on your life. Do you see Prince William just behaving anyhow, going to the club? He has a right as a citizen of UK. No, he can't say anything because everything he says, you can't see President Biden just saying his mind because everything he says has an impact on the stock market. As Christians, you can't just talk. It has how you live your life has an impact on the kingdom. That's why the Lord, he said, you did not hallow me before my people. He failed in the assignment that his job was to glorify the Lord in the presence of his people. The people could misbehave. Moses could not. The priest could misbehave. The high priest must not. Others can do it. Christian brothers and sisters, you cannot. Others can say it. Christian brothers and sisters, you cannot. Others can go there. Christian brothers and sisters, you may not. Because there's an anointing on your life. Learning to serve the Lord with godly reverence. And that's what we need to learn these days. We cannot be copying the world. We are serving the Lord. We are priests of the Most High God. Others can wear it. You cannot. Others can go there. Not because it's a sin. It's because you are holy. You are holy. And if you are not careful, you'll be treating holy things like ordinary things. And that's something that annoys our Father. And here you see, the Lord said to Moses, listen, I've never seen the Lord say, I don't want to discuss that matter anymore before. Say, don't, if Moses had raised it one more time, maybe he would not even have gotten to see from afar. Have you ever seen the Lord speak that way before? Don't even come to me about that matter anymore. Have you? I've never seen. The Lord just cut him off. Closed. What do you think? You think you're familiar with me? As we close, this is to say, as we know the Lord, let's know him more. The time is gone. I'd like to go into one more example, but maybe I will. I'll just say the story. We don't have to. Maybe when we get home, we can read it. The same thing happened to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Close to the same thing, a different dimension, but it's also in the line of learning to serve the Lord in reverence. This one is slightly different. This one is the positive. At least Moses was angry. David was not. David did not reverence the Lord exactly because he was very happy. I'm going to repeat it. Moses did not reverence the Lord in this example because he was angry. But this flip story, if you read it carefully, and it's a warning to you and I, it's exactly because he was relieved and happy. That was what caused David to err here. The story says that in that day, David, a man of God, who really loved the Lord, he sat down in his royal palace and he looked at the tent of the Lord, which was outside. And in his zeal, his desire to serve the Lord, he said, how can I be living in my own sealed palace and the tabernacle of my Lord lays outside? Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. When you look at God's things and you want to improve on it, that's a good thought. It's a noble thought. But to the Lord, it was also a contemptuous thought. So the high priest, or was it the prophet or whoever, Nathan, went to him and said, oh, as thy king desire, just do and command. Then Nathan, which I'll bless the Lord for his prophets. Prophets only render what they see. But when he got back home, the Lord woke him up. Go back to my servant, David, and tell him. And if you carefully study that passage, you will see the message that God sent to David. He said, will you now build me a house? You have now become a king. You've forgotten where you come from. Your kind will be the one to build me a house. He said, since I've been living in tents, have I ever told anybody to build me a house? He said, you will now build me a house. Then he began to tell David his story. I raised you from a shepherd boy. I gave you a throne that does not belong to you. I did it. You cannot build me a house. How dare you even think you can build me a house? I need you to always be a worshiper. Don't be an initiator for me. You cannot improve the church of God. Just obey me. You cannot help me in your zeal. Just follow me.
What the Lord demands of us is not our actions, our talents, our brilliance. What he demands of us is our obedience. He knows he has the time, he has the plan. It's just sufficient to wake up in the morning and say, Master, what will you have me do? When a servant begins to suggest and approach to the master, that's when he's put in his place. In that passage, the Lord put David in his place. He said, now let me tell you what's going to happen. You are not going to build me a house. The initiative will not be, because the glory will not be. You will never, nobody will ever be able to say they built God a house. You are never going to be able to build a church of God. None of you can. Your talent and your anointing cannot do it. I will build it. I just need you to obey me. Just obey me. The posture of a believer to God should always be, what will you have me do, Lord? And the Lord began to tell Moses, David there, your sons after you will do it. You will not do it. When the Lord was done with Moses, the man who proudly sat in his throne and said, I can do the Lord a favor. See my wonderful palace. Let's build a similar one for the Lord. His posture was the correct one after that conversation. He bowed down and worshiped. He understood that the kingdom was not his. The tabernacle was not his. And he worshiped the Lord. I began to say, Lord, see the thoughts that you have towards me and my children. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The Lord put him in his place quickly so that he's not going to be proud to say, I built the church. See what I did. I did this. I did that. Because of my talent, because of my skill. For the glory must be to the Lord, for he is worthy of a praise. No man on earth must give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. For everything you do, learn to serve the Lord with godly fear and with reverence. Let us pray. Lord, we learn these things and we need you, Father, to help us understand them. Your word is, your church is marching on and the gate of hell will not prevail. Oh, Father, you who have been pleased to reveal how you want us to worship you, will you now deny us the grace and the power to do so? Father, do not let our eyes see. Do not let us be those whose eyes we see, but whose feet will not get there. I pray that we'll be able to take these nuggets that you reveal in your word and apply it in the way we approach you, so that we'll not be arrogant, so that your grace will rest upon us and your blessings and your hands will cover us. Circumcise our hearts. Thank you for this morning, Lord. I pray for the sick amidst us. You are the Lord that healeth us. Father, sick in mind, sick in body, I pray, Lord, that you succor us. The offerings we bring in praise, in monetary things, Father, let them be acceptable in your sight. And bless us as we go home today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. While walking.